This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. Special edition again, as we do this on Thursdays from time to time. I have Dr. Kelly most every week, but we're doing 2 hours of Dr. Kelly today. So if you got any questions, please, the best way to do that, send me a text message, 307-200-8222. 307-200-8222. And thank you all so much for coming out to the event we had last night down in Parker at Artisan Pizza. It was a joy meeting each and every one of you. We had a great time. Those of you that did not show up, you missed a real treat. We had a great time, and it was a blast. And Dr. Kelly, I was thinking of you last night. At some point in time, we should probably do something with you and Steve and get everybody together and just have a little party sometime.
Well, I would love that, John, and thanks for having me, as always. Looking forward to doing a two-hour show with you today. I am all about getting back together in person. It really is time for us to do that.
I agree.
People who, you know, who are at high risk from this thing know who they are by now. We know how to treat it, and it's really time for people to get back to normal. And when I say normal, I don't mean the new normal. There was nothing wrong the old normal.
Thank you.
It's time to get back to that.
I agree. And we had a great time last night. So, no, we'll get some things done and plan that way. All right, let's get right into it. Dr. Kelly Victory again with us. If you want to know more about Dr. Kelly, maybe you're just listening to us the first time, or we're going to replay these hours, by the way, on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So if you happen to be listening to us and passing through town maybe, and you want to know more about Dr. Kelly, go to our website, rushtoreason.com. Look in the show notes section, and there's a whole page dedicated to Dr. Kelly. A lot of the things that we talk about, the podcast, a list of things that she recommends that you should be taking to keep your immune system up. All of those things are on our website. So Dr. Kelly, without further ado, the new variant, Omicron. Am I saying it right? Omicron?
Omicron.
Omicron.
Another, you know, thank goodness we have a long Greek alphabet, John, because Omicron is not the last of the variants. It's not the last of the COVID-19 mutations. The reality is, and I've said this from the beginning, viruses mutate.
Yep.
All viruses mutate. Coronaviruses happen to be particularly adept at it. They do it more quickly than other viruses. So the idea that we have a new mutation should surprise no one. The great news is this. Viruses, as they mutate, do, with rare exception, reportedly rare exception, they do two things. They become more contagious, and at the same time, they become less virulent,
mm-hmm.
less severe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
That's what they do. Again, reportedly rare. I used to say absolutely never, but somebody will find something.
Sure, of course.
Sometime.
But in this case, you've been correct all along, and that's exactly what's happened. Okay, so along those lines, I've got a question. There's a Minnesota man that says that he's never been outside the country. He's developed symptoms of COVID, of course, and he's got make sure I say this right, Omicron variant now, and it's now in Colorado. My question to you is this not just a normal progression of the virus? In other words, would somebody have had to been to South Africa to actually get this, or is this just a natural mutation, and it's going to be spreading everywhere just because that's what the virus is doing anyways?
It's going to, and these things are ubiquitous, John. They spread Many people, it's probably Omicron's probably been in the United States for longer than we know. We don't test when we test people for COVID. Let's be clear. There's no specific test for Omicron versus Delta versus Alpha versus the original strain. The only way we know what particular mutation an individual has is when the CDC comes in intermittently to an area and they go ahead and they test the genetic sequencing of people who have tested positive in a region and decide that, you know, which is the strain of preponderance at a particular time. Otherwise, if you get tested for COVID right now, you get a positive or a negative. You don't get a positive for Omicron or you're positive for Delta. And let's be, you know, right now, Delta is still remains by far the most predominant strain in the United States and frankly around most of the world. Yes, we're seeing, you know, a handful, we're in the numbers of, you know, hundreds of cases at this point, not tens of thousands of Omicron. But in all likelihood, given how contagious Omicron is likely to be, that it will spread far and wide. And that's not a bad thing, because so far, despite all of the fear mongering that you're hearing and all of the, you know, rumblings about, oh, we may need another lockdown and shutting schools and masking and, you know, travel restrictions, despite all of that ridiculousness, the reality is there hasn't been a single person around the world who has needed to be hospitalized with Omicron. It is causing very, very mild symptoms, even milder than those that were caused by Delta.
Makes total sense. All right. We had a text message that just came in, and I know this gets a little bit difficult, so folks, please know that these are going to be generic answers, because I already know firsthand Dr. Kelly, of course, cannot, nor can I. I'm not a doctor. She cannot prescribe or tell anybody how to get well if you have COVID. But Dr. Kelly, one of the things that continues to come up is because of the way we are not treating, is probably what I should say, rather than treating COVID, I get a lot of messages asking, how do I get the treatments Dr. Kelly talks about for COVID, like ivermectin, like hydroxychloroquine? How do folks get a hold of those things and then also get them into, you know, whether they're a patient themselves or somebody that they know that may very well be in the hospital or something along those lines? How do they handle that? How do they get that? Kelly, are you there? Did we lose you? All right, let's do this, Charlie. We must have lost our connection. So, Dr. Kelly, if you're listening, hang tight. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll see if we can get you back. We can take a quick break. I'll answer that question again as soon as we come back. G Reminders, though, is up next, folks. And it's a great way to get your no-shows to a minimum. Eliminate them, basically. It's what we use here on our program. It's how we make sure that all of our guests know exactly when they're coming up for their interviews. And it works in conjunction with your Outlook or your Gmail calendar. It's really easy to use. I've never had anybody from G Reminders have to show me how this works. It's very simple. All you do is go to rushtoreason.com for the discount code and look for G Reminders.
It's so easy, you don't even need to think about it. G Reminders has one goal: to eliminate wasted time and money by reminding your customers about their appointments. They don't want you to spend a lot of time editing the reminders. That would defeat the purpose. So G Reminders has created a dynamic system unique to the industry that requires almost no effort on your part. You move an appointment on your calendar, G Reminders will automatically update to reflect those changes. Sign up now for 10% off your first year at greminders.com/KLZ.
All right, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is up next, folks. Anything you need when it comes to your heating, air conditioning, electrical, you name it, whatever it happens to be, they can help you and would love to. And don't forget to ask about the Absolute Advantage membership, 720-526-0231 or klzradio.com.
Increase comfortability in your home with a UV air purifying system from Absolute. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air offers dynamic air solutions you won't find at most HVAC companies. Unfortunately, not all air purification products deliver on their promises. Before selecting a product, the team at Absolute personally met with the scientists who developed the technology, installing systems in their own homes to make sure they really work. The science makes sense. Your ultraviolet purifier attaches to your furnace, killing particles like dust, mold, and even most viruses at the source before the air blows through your vents into the rest of your house. One small unit purifies the air throughout your home, eliminating odors. Call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air today for an air purifier that works. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
All right, Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt Rogers wants to help you. He'll give you a free mortgage review. It's a simple phone call, 720-895-0500.
Rates are low, but are you still paying too much interest? Why continue to pay most of your interest up front like a conventional loan when you can use the asset manager to save thousands in unnecessary interest costs? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. The asset manager is a simple interest loan, which means when your payoff decreases, your payment decreases, and so does your interest. Our clients are paying off their home in half the time. They're not changing their spending habits, and they have access to their equity for 30 years, even after it's paid off. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Think about it. This simple interest loan allows you to own your home faster, access your equity for 30 years, which means never having to refinance over and over and over again to pay off debts or for home improvements. No more requalifying, no more additional cost. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. And see for yourself. You're in control, not the bank. NMLS 298191, regulated by DOR, Equal Credit Lender.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Kelly Victory with us today, and we'll be here until 5 o'clock, to the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Dr. Kelly, I know we got cut off. The question was, I've got somebody texting in, and I get this quite often, actually, and I gave the preference that, you know, you or I, neither one, can actually, you know, pass out any kind of, you know, medical treatments or anything along those lines, given the fact that you have got to see somebody face-to-face to do that as a doctor. And I am not, so I can't prescribe or do anything. But I get the question all the time, where do folks get ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine if they feel like they've got COVID and it's something they want to be treated with?
The best thing to do, and you are quite right, you really do need to at least see and speak with a physician before you get a prescription. Both ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine are by prescription only in the United States. It bears remarking on that those medications are over-the-counter in most of the world,
yep.
But in the United States they're by prescription.
You go south of the border, you can buy both of those at a pharmacy.
Exactly, just like we buy Tylenol or ibuprofen.
That's right.
Most of the world, those are over-the-counter. But here, if you think that you have symptoms of COVID, the best thing to do is to go to one of the telemedicine sites. The two easiest to navigate are speakwithanmd.com, or americasfrontlinedoctors.org.
I'm going to interject, Dr. Kelly. Those are both also on the website, big buttons. All you have to do is go to rushtoreason.com, and they're both there.
Yeah, so that's the easiest. You can request a telemedicine visit. The doctors at both of those sites are capable of prescribing medications in all 50 states if they deem that it would be appropriate for your case. You can also go to earlycovidcare.org, and there's a button there to find a doctor locally. You may well be able to find a doctor right within your area that is willing and able to see you personally and get it that way. But I recommend, and the great news is, John, that despite this new Omicron variant and the variants that I guarantee you will follow, we have every reason to believe that the entire cocktail of medications that we have been using effectively for COVID, which includes things like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and steroids and blood thinners and lots of other things, those medications will in all likelihood be extraordinarily effective against Omicron, just like they were against Delta and previous variants. So that's the great news.
All right, next text question that came in. By the way, any other questions you guys have, we'll continue to take these until we're done, and we'll continue to do this each week like we've been doing now for several months. 307-200-8222. Next question is, ask Dr. Kelly, what happened to the 10 mutations between Delta and Omicron?
Good question. And this is the point. There are mutations, viral mutations, probably hundreds that we haven't even categorized. And this is the point. Viruses mutate all the time. And although the fear-mongering headlines on this one, on Omicron, have said, oh my gosh, this is very scary because there are, quote, twice as many mutations on Omicron as there were on Delta. Well, let's put that in a little bit of perspective.
Okay.
The difference genetically between Delta and the original Wuhan strain was 0.03%. Delta had migrated, mutated away by 0.03% of the original. So, okay, that means Omicron is 0.06% different. It's not like we are creating a brand new scary virus. These are minor mutations, the important part of which, however, is that the mutations are largely occurring exactly where we would have predicted they would, which is on that spike protein. And the reason that's relevant is because all of the available vaccines have been predicated on that singular spike protein, which is what I've warned about from the very beginning. So the spike protein is mutating, which means, unfortunately, that the vaccines that have not fared well against Delta and previous variants are not likely to fare well against Omicron. Okay? The spike protein has mutated enough that it is very likely going to evade the antibodies that people who took the vaccine created in response to the vaccine, because that singular spike protein has changed.
So even though it's only that 0.03%, and in the case of Omicron, it's 0.06%, even though it's just a small percentage difference there, it's enough difference that the vaccines become less, if not ineffective totally, right?
Exactly, because it's only 0.06% of the entire genomic components of the virus, but all of the variation has happened within that singular spike protein. It's all the mutations are happening in one location.
Okay, that
makes
sense.
And that happens to be the location that the antibodies from the vaccines target. Now, people who have natural immunity, people who had one of the previous mutations, one of the previous variants, or even the original Wuhan variant, those people developed antibodies to the entire virus, not just the spike protein. So even if the antibodies they developed to the spike protein don't recognize the spike protein anymore on Omicron, they will undoubtedly recognize all the other parts of Omicron.
Okay.
And therefore, people with natural immunity are extremely likely to be well protected. We know that natural immunity is broad, robust, and enduring. We're now up to more than 130 published studies documenting the power of natural immunity to COVID. And if you want to find those, they are all posted on that earlycovidcare.org website.
All right, next question, which goes right along with what we just talked about, by the way. If a vaccinated person never mounts an antibody defense against COVID, then how does a vaccinated person who becomes infected actually clear or, you know, become more immune, if you would, to COVID, or will they?
Well, what we don't know, it's a great question. We know, unfortunately, that the vaccines are failing against COVID-19. They started to fail very quickly within a matter of months. All of them went from an efficacy of, you know, mid-90s down to 70s down to 40s, and now we are seeing an ever-increasing number of, quote, breakthrough cases because, as I was just explaining, those antibodies that are developed in response to the vaccines simply don't recognize these new mutations on the spike protein. What we don't know is whether the vaccines actually suppress overall the immune response of the vaccinated person, such that they don't mount the same level of antibody or immune response at all when they are faced with a new pathogen, whether that's a new COVID-19 mutation or something else, say influenza or a common cold or a bacterial infection like strep or staph. We don't know that yet. There is some indication that there's suppression overall of the immune response in vaccinated people. And again, John, no one should interpret what I'm saying as being reflective that I'm somehow anti-vaccine.
Right.
I'm anything but.
Right.
I am simply pro-science and pro-data, and I am highly respectful of the complexity of forming and manufacturing vaccines. It is tricky business. And I've said many times, the immune system is the last great frontier of American, of modern medicine. And Americans are constantly trying to create new vaccines for these sorts of things. And I support that. But the reality is, we don't know necessarily what the impact is going to be overall on the vaccinated person's immune system,
right,
let alone how they will respond to pathogens in the future.
All right. Another question, which, again, goes along with this and the natural immunity side of the fence, and that is there any progress, or what is the progress being made to establish the fact that natural immunity has, you know, high legitimacy to it? And as you said, and I believe fully, that a naturally immune person is far more better off than somebody that took the vaccine. And yet that's not a direction we've headed. Are we making any progress in putting some legitimacy to that?
Well, slowly, and the point is well taken. It's ridiculous that we have to, quote, prove this. We've known this for decades and decades and decades. Physicians have known, and it's been well documented in the science, that when you contract and you recover from a virus of this type, you have ongoing immunity that is broad, robust, and enduring. We know, for example, with our experience from COVID, SARS-CoV-1 back in 2003, very, very similar virus to COVID-19. So the people who had and recovered from SARS back in 2003 still to this day, 18 years later, have immunity to that virus.
Mm.
And we have every reason to believe the same thing will be true of COVID-19. We know that people who had the Spanish flu back in 1918, those people who had it and recovered decades and decades later still had immunity to that very virus, to that Spanish flu virus. So the idea that we are put in a position, we are having to reinvent the wheel here and reprove what scientists have known for decades is just ridiculous. But as I said, we've got over 130 published studies. And yes, lawyers have now gotten in the mix, necessarily so, to fight against the idea that there are vaccine mandates that refuse to acknowledge that natural immunity to COVID is absolutely not only in existence, but it's profoundly powerful,
right,
and far better than any immunity that you would get from a vaccine itself, regardless of how many boosters you choose to take.
One of the things I want to talk about in the second hour, so all of you listening, we will be back, is COVID racism is what I've heard it called, and calling it myself. We'll talk about some of that as we get into the next hour. Next question, though, Dr. Kelly, is, and this one comes up a lot as well. I had a couple of these even come in earlier in the week, so I thought I'd just combine them with this particular question, which is, you know, what protocol treatments should we be taking if we've already been vaxxed to minimize harm from COVID? And then on top of that, I've had questions where if they've gotten the vaccine and they now realize all of the things that we're now talking about and some of the things that happened with the vaccine itself, is there any undoing of the vaccine? So two questions. What do the vaccinated do to protect themselves further when it comes to COVID in case they contract it? And then on top of that, can they do anything to reverse the vaccine itself?
Well, the baseline things that I recommend that everybody do, regardless of vaccination status, to improve and enhance the functioning of your own immune system and to decrease your risk of contracting COVID in the first place, is certainly to do those simple things like supplementing vitamin D. We know that low vitamin D levels are strongly correlated with a worse outcome from COVID. And it's really important because 80% of blacks, 50% of Hispanics, and upwards of 30% of Caucasians are vitamin D deficient. So something as simple as supplementing vitamin D on a daily basis can be very helpful. I recommend that people supplement zinc. And this isn't just during COVID. It's in all cold and flu season.
Hmm.
Because zinc is a very powerful antiviral by itself.
Right.
And it enhances the immune system. Unfortunately, zinc by itself has a hard time getting into the cell. So I recommend that people take it with another over-the-counter supplement called quercetin. Quercetin is what we call a zinc ionophore. It helps the zinc get into the cell from the bloodstream. It sort of opens the door, if you will, to the cell and lets the zinc get intracellular, which is where the viruses will be. So those simple things, vitamin D, zinc, quercetin, vitamin C, adequate sleep, regular exercise. God knows one of the worst things we did during this pandemic response was to lock down gyms, close parks, close community swimming pools, and tell people to stay indoors and kept them from doing the thing that would have been most helpful, or one of the things that would have been most helpful, which is to get out and get regular, vigorous exercise. So those sorts of things, regardless of vaccination status. Then to the question, and I get this question a lot, John, is there any way to sort of undo any untoward impact of the vaccines? Unfortunately, you cannot unring that
bell. You can't suck it out. It's there, right? It's done.
You can't. It's in there. Yes, it's done. That said, you certainly can do the things that I'm talking about with regard to keeping your immune system otherwise healthy. You know, what I recommend is that if people are actually having adverse side effects from the vaccine, then those are very individual.
Right.
Then what we recommend people do is you're going to treat the side effects individually.
Okay.
If your side effect is that you're having blood clots, then we treat you with a blood thinner. If your side effect is that you're having muscle aches, then we treat you with medications like ibuprofen that can help with muscle aches and those sorts of things. So there's no one size fits all in terms of the adverse events or adverse side effects of the vaccines themselves. But my best recommendation to those folks who have chosen to get vaccinated, and I respect that choice for anybody,
I agree,
is to don't believe that just because you're vaccinated, you can let your guard down and all of a sudden think that, you know, I have not a care in the world because I've been vaccinated. You should still be taking daily care of your immune system. And that involves basic things that people have forgotten about.
No, that is great advice, because I think some folks, and I've seen it, we've seen it everywhere. People can get a false sense of security that, oh, I'm vaccinated now, I'm good, and off we go, no big deal. I don't have to worry about doing some of these other regimens I've been doing maybe in the past, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
Exactly. And if you know, I will tell you the other thing, that other than advanced age, we have known from the very beginning that the single risk factor most highly correlated with a bad outcome from COVID is obesity. So of all times, if you weren't motivated before, you know, maybe this is the time to say my motivation for losing that 25 or 50 pounds or whatever it is for you is frankly because I know that it's putting me at a higher risk than the average person for a bad outcome from COVID. And if you simply get your weight into the desired range, you can significantly decrease your risk from that particular virus, but you're also decreasing your risk of diabetes and heart disease, and stroke, and a heck of a lot of other long-term problems.
Very true.
So I really wish that public health officials would spend more time focusing on these broad-reaching things. I'm not saying that weight loss alone or vitamin D alone is going to protect you.
No, it's a combination of all of the above.
Exactly. And it's this singular focus on vaccine, as if we can just turn a blind eye at the common sense things that we've always known.
Thank you.
Common sense with regard to healthcare and medicine. And those things will go a heck of a long ways to keep you safe, again, not only from COVID, but from the myriad of other illnesses and pathogens and diseases that are out there.
Unfortunately, Dr. Kelly, and you've been in the medical world, you know, way, way, way longer than I've even been around it. But what I've noticed from just a layman looking at things, and probably even more so since I've been a talk show host, is we have a healthcare system. And I've come from the automotive world, as you know, to where preventative maintenance has become a really big deal in the automotive world. It wasn't at one time. At one time in the automotive world, you only fix what was broken, and then you moved on to the next thing that was broken, and so on. I feel like our healthcare system is much like we in the automotive world were in yesteryear, to where all we fix is what's broken, and we do nothing on the preventative maintenance side of things whatsoever.
I'll tell you right now, I've said it for decades. We don't have a health care system in the United States. Mm. We have a disease care system.
Yeah, here we go.
And we have a good disease care system, but it is entirely reactive.
Yeah.
I can pull a group, a room full of 1,000 people and say, how many of you got a postcard in the mail reminding you it was time for your routine maintenance on your car? And 100% of people will raise their hand.
That's right.
Or how many of you got a postcard from your veterinarian telling you it was Fluffy's, it was time for Fluffy's
That's right.
annual exam? 100%. How many people get that from their doctors? And it's
None.
Maybe 30 or 40%.
That's right.
percent.
I've never, Dr. Kelly, my whole life, I've never gotten one. The dentist, on the other hand, those guys have got that part of it figured out as well. We do oral care very well, and we do maintenance on oral care, but we do not do maintenance on the rest of us.
Exactly.
of our body, I
so
mean.
As soon as we start rendering the same level of preventive care to people that we do to our cars and our animals, we will have made some great strides in this country.
I agree.
We have predominantly a disease care system in the United States, and it's really a problem.
I agree. All right, another question that came in, and this is a good question, by the way. This is John, not going to say where he's from, but he was looking at Facebook the other day and noticed on one of our popular news stations here in town that they had posted an article that the vaccine does not cause these different variants that we're now seeing. And frankly, I don't know how they could publish that because that's exactly what's causing them, Dr. Kelly. I know that just on the common sense end of things.
That's correct, and there's a reason why we have never, and common sense is that you would never launch a mass vaccination program in the middle of an active outbreak. There is no question that vaccines, particularly, specifically, these types of vaccines that are non-sterilizing, meaning everybody, the CDC, FDA, and vaccine manufacturers all acknowledge these vaccines do not stop you from contracting COVID. They do not render the virus incapacitated. You can still get it. You can still spread it. And therefore, the vaccines put what we call selective pressure on the virus. The virus is selectively pressured to mutate in ways that it will allow it to get around, that to evade the antibodies developed by these vaccines. It's a survival mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
This is nature at its finest.
Yep.
It's in the virus's best interest, if you will, not that the virus has cognition, but it's in the virus's best interest to mutate to avoid these antibodies because it doesn't want to kill its host. It wants to spread. It wants to replicate. That's what viruses do. The virus can only survive if it replicates. If it infects people and kills 100% of them, the virus will burn out. That's why as viruses mutate, they become more contagious and less severe. They also will do whatever it takes. The mutations will occur selectively so that they will avoid being captured by the antibodies that have been developed by these vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no question that the vaccines are actually causing, and not that viruses wouldn't mutate on their own, but the vaccines actually promote and facilitate and really enhance the ability of the virus to mutate in ways that will avoid capture.
All right, folks, again, Dr. Kelly Victory with us. Text us your question, 307-282-22, 307-282-22. Next one comes in, same person, by the way, that was just talking a moment ago about that article posted by one of our news stations here, is asking, this person just got over COVID about 2 weeks ago. They caught it from somebody that was vaccinated. The question is, of course, is the antibodies now that this individual has better than those that have the vaccine? I think we've already answered that. But I think the question that a lot of us even have is, if you get COVID from somebody that's vaccinated, I mean, is it still the same COVID that you would normally get from somebody not vaccinated? In other words, it's just COVID is COVID is COVID, whether you're getting it from somebody vaccinated or not. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And you are also absolutely correct in thinking that whether you catch COVID from a vaccinated person or an unvaccinated person, regardless, if you are not vaccinated and you develop antibodies to fight off COVID, your immunity is broad and enduring, and it's far better than any you would have ever have gotten from the vaccine. The analogy I've made in the past, if it helps people, is that You know, when you get vaccinated, you develop antibodies to that singular spike protein. So that's like saying you recognize the guy, the bad guy who's wearing the red baseball hat. You develop antibodies, and the antibodies say, when you see the guy with the red baseball hat, that's him. Take him down. Take that dude down. The problem is, all that guy has to do is ditch the red baseball cap in the bushes, and your antibodies from the vaccine aren't going to recognize him. On the other hand, if you get COVID naturally and you're not vaccinated, you develop antibodies to the red baseball hat. You see that as the foe, but you also develop antibodies to the hat and the gloves and the glasses and the briefcase and the shoes. You recognize all parts of that foe. So that foe would have to change an awful lot about his appearance. He can't just ditch the red. He might ditch the red baseball hat, but you're going, yeah, but I'd know those shoes and that briefcase anywhere. And you still have antibodies that are going to attack that foe because you recognize all parts of it, not just the singular spike protein, the red baseball hat.
Talk just for a moment. I know we're going to take a break in a moment, but this is probably an easy one. Echinacea, somebody just asked, is that something that as a supplement is worth taking? Some people swear by it. What's your thoughts on that particular herb?
You know, I am big on supplements in general. Echinacea is just one, however, of many. There's selenium and, you know, melatonin. There's so many that I could list. Turmeric is a great anti-inflammatory. So, yes, echinacea is in the large group of things that you could take. At some point, I hate to think of people just sitting home and doing nothing but taking a huge bowl, you know, salad bowl full of supplements and pills, which is not to make light of echinacea because I think it probably does have some benefit, but it's hardly the only one. What I would say to people is that even if you're taking a multivitamin, which I think is good for most people given how lousy our diets are these days, the average multivitamin does not have an adequate amount of vitamin D or zinc to really help. And that's why I suggest specifically to take additional vitamin D and additional zinc. Your average multivitamin, for example, might have 5 or 8 or maybe 10 milligrams of zinc when you need closer to 50 milligrams. And for people who are vitamin D deficient, which, as I said, is unfortunately the majority of people now, 1,000 or 2,000 IUs of vitamin D that's in your average multivitamin just isn't enough to get you over the hump.
Okay. All right. Dr. Kelly Vitry again with us. Give me a question if you've got one. 307-282-22, 307-282-22. We'll be right back, though. Michael Bailey Law is up next, and we want to make sure that your estate is in order before you leave this earth, and it's easy, folks. We're talking about maintenance on our body, our health, the things that we do daily in that regard. The same is true when it comes to your estate planning. Have Michael make sure that things are up to speed, even if you've had one done in the past. Look at it again and make sure that it's correct. 720-394-6887 or klzradio.com.
You know your own family. Who makes good decisions? Who doesn't? Who keeps the peace? Who stirs up trouble at family reunions? Who you trust with your money? Who you wouldn't? Fortunately, you also know which of those family members will make decisions on your behalf in an emergency because you wisely set up your estate plan with Michael Bailey Law. You know your family. Now make sure you know who will be in charge when it counts. KLZradio.com/estate.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, who will join us, by the way, tomorrow in the 3 o'clock hour. And we've got some things that we'll talk about with Al. He's always a great guest to have on. In the meantime, if you want help planning your retirement, your financial future, call Al today, 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
You've been saving for retirement your entire career. Now it's time to take some of your winnings off the table. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a tax-efficient retirement plan. You've never had much need for a financial advisor in the past because you have primarily contributed to your company's 401k or IRA. Now, you're looking to the future. You know those accounts will be fully taxable once you retire, and taxes could be a pretty big chunk. Now's the time to start thinking about converting at least a portion of your nest egg into tax-free accounts. Your company's retirement plan has served you well, but you don't need to leave your nest egg there forever. In fact, it may be in your best interest to move some of that money before you retire. Find out how you could move into a lower tax bracket. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith at klzradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Before you sell a house, you clean up the front to maximize the sale price with curb appeal. Before you sell a business, you get organized so buyers can see their potential earnings clearly. Buyers want to purchase an investment, not a job. To make your company more attractive to a buyer, your business needs to run smoothly without you. Hire John Rush as your personal business coach before you sell to maximize your profits. Email John at rushtoreason.com for one free session.
The best export we have is common sense. You're listening to Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Kelly Victory with us. Again, any questions for us? 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. And again, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much, and I know it takes time out of your day, your week to do this, and I get comments constantly from individuals that I meet. Saw some people even last night that just enjoy this time we have together. And I know I learn a lot. I know they do as well. And it's just a joy having you, and I appreciate it very much. I do want to, though, just kind of go back to this Omicron variant that now has showed up in Colorado by somebody that's never even been around anybody from South Africa. And I want to make sure that I'm clear in what I asked you earlier, which I think you believed or, you know, you agreed with me on. And that is that Omicron is going to show up, period, just because that's what the virus is doing. It's mutating, and it doesn't matter whether it's South Africa or it's South Dakota. It's going to show up anyways. Am I right in saying that?
Yes, I think largely you are. I have a couple questions. Number one, how does this person know that they had Omicron? Is this somebody who was tested by the CDC that you're referring to?
Well, there is an article that was out today talking about Minnesota. Minnesota finds Omicron in a patient with no international travel. And I did not read the entire, you know, health department news article, I should say, that came out of the Department of Health of Minnesota. But somebody there must have done it. It came from its public health laboratory is where that came from in Minnesota.
Okay. So what I would say is the other question is, how do we, that person may not have traveled, but that person may have been at, the grocery store next to somebody who was on a plane next to somebody who had gotten off of that came from, it's the nature of viruses. It's how they try. You don't have to actually gone to this area. It's different from talking about Zika virus. When you had Zika virus, you had to be, bitten by a mosquito.
Okay.
And unless that mosquito, you have to be down in those areas where Zika was prevalent in the mosquito population. But when you're talking about a highly contagious, highly transmissible respiratory virus, it is just so easy. And, walking, and that's why the idea of wearing masks and social distancing is sort of a fool's errand. There's simply no way to stop the spread that way. It's too easy for, air moves and viruses move with
right.
The air. So unfortunately, who knows if we'll ever find out where this particular individual got it, but I'm not surprised, and we will see more of it. It will start popping up in states all around and in countries all around where nobody has been to Africa where it was originally identified.
Well, and I guess let me go one step further. In my mind, this is not anybody texting. This is just me thinking out loud. If nobody had moved around, let's just say, for example, everybody goes through, we do these vaccines like we've done. Nobody's moving around from place to place. Everybody kind of hunkers down and stays where they're at. Of course, you're not going to stay that way completely. There's still going to be some people moving, but nobody travels from state to state or country to country. Would the Omicron virus, that variant, I should say, of the virus still come into play given what we're doing with vaccines and so on? In other words, would it just be a natural progression in that mutation even if people aren't moving around?
Yeah, I think that, there's no way to say with certainty, but I think that it's likely only because these viruses mutate quickly. They're relatively minor variations in the genetic makeup of the virus, but they seem to be occurring mostly, as we would predict, on that spike protein. And so who knows if that would naturally occur regardless of people moving around or not. As I said, I think we are going to have many, many more variants before this thing is done. There are undoubtedly, I would guess, dozens and dozens of variants that we never actually identified because we don't identify each one individually. There are, you know, remember for a while they were calling it Delta Plus?
Yes, yes.
You know, for a while there was the Delta. Yeah, yeah. Well, are we going for Omicron Plus and Lambda Plus?
Yeah, okay.
Or, you know, I mean, it's these things are not so easy to identify because, as I said, unless you send in the CDC to do genetic testing, which is different, you know, far different from doing a PCR test, we're never going to be able to be sure exactly what mutation is where and how it gets from point A to point B.
Okay. I got another question that just came in, which is somebody we met last night at our event. And this is a great question. This is the first I've heard of this. This particular person had COVID, went into the doctor's office to get, you know, the antibody test done to see what kind of antibodies they've got from having COVID. They sent it off to the lab. The lab won't go through with the antibody test, and they just won't do it. They said it's gotten so political, they won't do that test. Have you ever heard of a lab refusing to do an antibody test?
I haven't, but let me tell you, John, this entire experience has been just one unprecedented event after the next. If you had asked me 2 years ago if I'd ever heard of a pharmacist refusing to fill a prescription written by a licensed physician for an FDA-approved medication, I would have said no way, no how. So I can imagine that the labs are now getting into the politics of all of this as well.
Jeez.
It's absolutely unconscionable. I have not heard of that happening, but I can't say that it's out of the realm of the possible, given the absolute idiocy of what's been going on and how wildly politicized this pandemic response has become.
I guess you'd have to ask on the front side whether a lab's going to test it or not before sending it off. Would that be the problem? I guess the question is, where do you find a lab that will actually do this? Do you just have to call around and ask, or how would you do that?
Yeah, I guess I would just ask, or you just go and get a T-cell test. You know, the T-Detect tests are reasonably good. You can go online to t-detect.com and actually, you know, get the order for the T-cell test, and then you take that lab slip in and get the blood drawn. I have not heard of any labs refusing to do that test, although, again, if they're going to start throwing down the gauntlet on antibody tests, I can't imagine why that would happen. It makes me wonder if it actually was a hospital laboratory rather than an outpatient lab.
Okay.
If some of these hospital systems have become absolutely militant,
yes,
you've got
have.
Hospital systems, whether it's Ascension and, you know, Chicago, other places, you know, demanding that physicians not prescribe certain medications or prohibiting doctors from prescribing certain medications. We have never before had that kind of intrusion of the hospital system or healthcare system into the ability of a physician to practice medicine and to do what he or she thinks is best for his or her patient. So I'm wondering if this actually occurred at a hospital-based laboratory.
All right. We'll come right back. One last little break here, then we'll come back with Dr. Kelly. We've got her for the full 4 to 5 o'clock hour as well. Keep asking questions, folks. 307-200-8222. Franktown Firearms is next. If you're looking to buy something for that special someone that's always hard to buy for, someone like me, Franktown Firearms would be happy to take care of you. Don't forget about their tactical fun nights on Friday nights as well. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You can't not smile after firing Freedom Seeds. That's what the shop manager at Franktown Firearms calls bullets. You want the freedom of self-reliance. The negativity of the news makes your security feel uncertain. Whether you're looking to make your first firearm purchase or you're a master at arms, Franktown Firearms is here to cultivate a relationship with you as a client, not as a customer. Even though you may be a first-time shooter, Franktown Firearms has professional trainers that can get you to the experience level you want to be at. There's no cap holding you back. Training can be one-on-one or in a classroom setting because they customize instructions based on your level of comfortability. They include a rental firearm you can train with. You even have the choice to try before you buy when you're unsure what to purchase. The empowerment of a firearm is sure to help you liberate your smile in a seemingly uncertain time.
Visit klzradio.com/franktown for more information. That's klzradio.com/franktown.
Folks, you heard Dr. Kelly and I talking about the automotive world and the preventative maintenance that's done there, and it really is the best way to keep anything working properly, including yourself. But when it comes to your car, go to Extreme Auto Repair and get all of that maintenance and or repair work done. KLZRadio.com, 303-841-1071.
Extreme Auto Repair protects you. This is not the year to wait until the last minute for repairs, because everything's backed up. You try to get your vehicle in for maintenance the day before a snowstorm, you may be out of luck. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker wants to help you maintain your vehicle before winter. So right now, they're not raising prices. Their leadership team has committed to a temporary pricing freeze to protect their customers. Thanks to their remarkable diligence, the team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker has managed to keep turnaround times relatively short. They're spending big chunks of their day, every day, calling distributors around the country to hunt down parts for their customers. Just one of the reasons we're proud to promote them on KLZ. Now, to help you get ready for winter, they're committing to a pricing freeze so you can afford to maintain your vehicle. Call them now, 303-841-1071. Extreme Auto Repair in Parker. Promises made, promises kept.
All right, don't be left out in the dark. We've got a great backup system for you that will keep the lights on even when the power goes out. It's mysolarbackup.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of electricity, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Here's why. Solar generators are emergency backup systems that provide life-saving electrical backup power. And mysolarbackup.com has just moved a small shipment of new solar generators through the Long Beach port. Unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous winter weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Listeners get over $700 in additional bonuses too. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Enter the Solar Generator Giveaway Contest while you're there and look for the free report, How to Cut Your Electric Bill in Half. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, we're back. Dr. Kelly Victory with us. She'll be with us the entire next hour as well. We got a few minutes left of this hour, though. Dr. Kelly, somebody texted in. It's a good question, by the way. When should you take all of these supplements, and does it matter? In other words, should you take some in the AM, some in the PM, or does it make any difference when it comes to the, you know, the protocol of making sure that we, you know, if we get COVID, we're much better off, you know, than we would be otherwise. But, you know, when should you take those supplements?
I don't think it makes any difference at all, John. I tell people, if people are taking capsules for zinc, some people are get nauseated with zinc, particularly if they're taking that 25 to 50 milligram amount. And in that case, I suggest that you take them as gummies. You can get them just over the counter as gummies at most nutrition stores and even at Walmart. And that way, I tell people the gummies themselves are usually, you know, 10 or 11 milligrams a piece. So that way you eat, you know, four of them during the day, just, mm-hmm. you know, pop them whenever sure. you think of it. But otherwise makes absolutely no difference. I just tell people take them when you'll remember to take them. If it's with your breakfast or coffee in the morning or lunch, you know, whenever you will remember to take them regularly on a okay. daily basis.
Another great question that came in. Somebody tested positive, had really mild symptoms, some headaches, loss of taste and smell. That's it. No fever, no problem breathing. How do individuals know how their bodies will respond to COVID? Is there any way to predict that on the front side?
No, I don't think there really is any way to predict it other than to say we know that the vast, vast majority of people, John, have very mild symptoms. We certainly know, for example, that healthy people under the age of 30 are extremely unlikely to have significant illness at all unless they have well-known underlying comorbidities, which certainly includes obesity or diabetes and heart disease. So although there's no way to, quote, predict it, whether or not you'll just have a sniffle or you might be that person who ends up with a fever and body aches and kind of feeling lousy for 5 or 10 days. There's no way to say with certainty, but you certainly can increase your chances of having a mild go of it by doing those simple things that I'm talking about, like supplementing vitamin D and zinc.
I mean, it would follow suit with any other type of illness we would get, including cancer. The more fit, the more healthy you are, you know, the better you are at doing all of these other regimens, even for things like that, you know, lack of sugar in your diet, so on and so forth. Anything we do along those lines is going to help with any type of illness we get, right?
Precisely. It's not to say that you can't come down with influenza or any of these things despite doing the best, you know, eating a healthy diet, not smoking, drinking in moderation, all the things you should be doing. Doesn't mean that you can't, you know, come down with a bad case of influenza or a bad, you know, cold or sinusitis or any of the number of things that are out there. We're acting as if COVID is the only illness on the planet right now. It's really, you know, we're in full-blown cold and flu season right now, so you should expect to get some upper respiratory infections. But taking care of yourself, making sure you're getting adequate sleep and those sorts of things goes a long way to improving your ability to handle any of those viruses.
All right, Dr. Kelly Vitry, another full hour coming your way. Don't go anywhere. And if you're listening to one of our replay hours, all of the information about Dr. Kelly is on the website, rushtoreason.com. Look under the show notes. You'll find her entire page there. We'll be right back, though. Another hour coming your way. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.